have had the least effect on its lethal power. The slaughter was happening less than a yard from the edge of the small lake, and Dean's suggestion about getting away by swimming suddenly came to Ryan. It was the best shot they had. He dodged around the droid, wading into the pool, feeling the cold shock as it rose above his combat boots to his knees, making his movement slow and fettered. He paused when it was halfway up his thighs, keeping the Sig Sauer leveled.
Hey!
The robot took no notice, preoccupied with mangling the corpse.
Come on, shit for brains, get over here!
This time the droid stopped, its head moving with an infinite slowness, the metal slick with blood. Its single red eye looked at the one-eyed man for long seconds.
Be careful, Dad!
The hunting droid turned to focus on the boy, taking a hesitant step toward him. Blood was dripping from the steel hammerhead, and a length of muscle tissue was trapped between the pincers. Ryan emptied his magazine, bringing its attention back to him as the 9mm rounds hit its chest. The metal was pitted and scored, but the droid's efficiency wasn't impaired. It took two steps that brought it right to the edge of the dark water, where it stopped.
Come on, you piece of rusting shit! Here I am!
Dad!
If things go wrong, head north for the others. This bastard won't follow you. Just this once, do like I say, Dean. Please!
One foot touched the surface of the pool, then drew back. The android's head turned, and the comp controls buzzed angrily. Ryan holstered the empty blaster and waved his hands in the air.
Hey, you fucker!
He backed away a little deeper, nearly falling, as his foot slipped on a slimed, rotting log buried in the mud. The android seemed to be assimilating a jumble of input information, its red eye blinking off and on, its arms trembling at its sides. It made its decision and took two bold steps into the lake to its armored knees. Ryan was now waist-deep, drawing the heavy panga in his right hand and hefting it, though he knew it would be like waving a piece of straw at a charging sticky.
Come on!
The android had walked to a depth where the water reached its groin, and there it stopped. Ryan took a chance. Instead of moving farther away, toward the possible safety of the lake's center, he chose to go forward, closing the gap between himself and the hunter-killer.
Lost your balls, have you?
The droid extended its arms and swung both toward him, but it was just too far away. Ryan waved the steel blade, bringing the creature a cautious half-step toward him. Ryan needed to have it at least chest-deep for there to be a chance of the water soaking through into its innards. A small part of Ryan's brain wondered if the original inventors had taken the precaution of sealing the comp unit and making it waterproof. If they had, then Ryan could look forward to about 10 seconds more of life. He offered the panga again, bringing the droid another foot closer. Now the dark lake was lapping at the bottom of the droid's round, fluted chest. It stopped, its head fixed toward its prey, its arms retracted and frozen, both pointing in Ryan's direction. For 20, 30 seconds, nothing happened. Ryan watched it hawk-like, waiting for the next move in the murderous game. A minute. 2 minutes.
Think it's fucked, Dad?
No, its eyes still lit. I can hear it still whirring away in its guts.
But the droid wouldn't move deeper.
Fire blast!
Ryan dove beneath the surface of the dark pool, kicking hard with his legs as he drove straight at the waiting sec droid. His groping hand felt the rigid struts of the leg supports, and he grabbed at them, swinging and pushing himself off the bottom of the pool. The droid responded quickly, pumping its arms below the frothing spray. Ryan felt a savage blow on his right shoulder, but he hung on. The steel of the panga clashed against the robot's other arm, blocking the slicing cutters. It was stumbling, struggling to keep its balance, the free leg shuffling, the other pulling against Ryan's grip. With a titanic effort, Ryan managed to get the leg out of the mud. He braced himself and heaved, lifting the heavy android, tipping it. The droid smashed another blow into the small of Ryan's back with its hammer hand, but it was finished. The breath exploded from Ryan as he surged out of the chill water, seeing the sec hunter disappearing, only its arms remaining above the pool. There was a bright flame beneath the surface, like flaring phosphorus. Ryan let go and splashed his way quickly to the shore, looking back over his shoulder, nearly falling into the bloody bones of the mangled deer. The pool became placid once more. The rabbit was burned, though they managed to break open the charred outer surface and pick off some dried meat that wasn't too scorched. Dean scuffed at the remains of the young deer, but the flesh was spoiled with fragments of splintered bones, all tainted with the pulped and ruptured intestines.
We'll soon get us something else to eat.
Ryan's shoulder and back showed two deep bruises, purplish-black, red around the edges, where the sec hunter had come close to killing him. But he'd bathed them in the cold lake, taking great care to pick a section a good distance away from where the android had gone down for the final time. Now, the warmth of the sun and the heat of the fire were drawing out the pain and tenderness.
We going on soon, Dad?
Hell, why not?
After the horrific early morning, the rest of the day unwound with a serene, untroubled beauty. They followed the river endlessly northward, along a valley with sides that grew ever more steep. Birds flew around them, dipping the tips of their beaks into the fast-running water. Their wings and breasts shone with a dazzling range of iridescent greens, reds, and golds. Across the far side of the valley, Ryan spotted a dozen or more curve-horned goats picking their way along a high, invisible trail. The sun was just past its zenith, and Dean and Ryan were taking a brief rest. The cliffs had closed right in on either side, the water flowing with muted thunder over shelves of glistening boulders.
Look!
Dean pointed at a steep drop of 8 or 10 feet, the river tumbling like a solid curtain of dark green.
Fish. Salmon? Or is it trout? Not very good on names of things I'm going
to
eat.
Can I go and try to catch us one?
Sure. They look good and big. But watch you don't go in off the top there. You're double slippery.
Ryan caught sight of what had attracted his son's gaze. Flashes of bright silver scales, gleaming like rainbows among the rushing falls. The river seemed to be teeming with fish, all of them battling their way upstream, presumably propelled by some atavistic spawning urge. The boy scrambled down the side of the ravine, picking his way with a sure-footed ease. Ryan lay back in the warm sunshine, feeling a paternal pride in his son's skill and courage. It was a good moment in a Deathlands afternoon. Dean showed his extraordinary speed and hand-eye coordination by using his small turquoise-hilted knife to catch a large fish. He waited patiently, lying flat on his stomach, his head and chest overhanging the waterfall. Again and again there was the dazzling display as the fish made their leaps. Dean lay and stared, working out where most of them were going, where the current was a little weaker than in other places, where the shelf was less high. When he struck, it was so quick that Ryan nearly missed it. A breath of steel flickered in the golden sunlight, and Dean had a fish struggling on his blade. He heaved it upward and clubbed its head on the rock before him. Holding it up, tail flapping, he beamed up at his father.
Hey, Dad, look at this!
For the second time in 7 hours, a column of thin smoke wound its way between the high walls of rock, vanishing almost instantly as it broke free into the windy heights above. The cleaned fish, neither trout nor salmon, was cooking merrily on the spit. Ryan's guess had put it at about a 7-pounder, plenty for a decent meal for both. And enough would remain to sustain them later on their northward journey.
Think they're far away now?
I don't know. I never can quite work out what happens to time when we make a jump. Occasionally it seems like we come out at about the same time of day, month, and year as when we went in. Other jumps, things are completely different.
But when you came after me...
Who knows? I didn't keep a real careful count, did you? But it looked like we came back around a day or so after the massacre at the homestead back there.
Rocks like this don't carry much of a trail, do they?
No.
Do you think Christy will feel us getting closer to her?
Maybe.
Why hasn't she left us another message to tell us we're on the right track?
She warned about stickies in the region. Could be on account of them.
Stickies can't read, Dad.
You don't know that.
But they don't!
Turn the fish again, Dean.
Ryan picked at his teeth with one of the long, flexible rib bones of the big fish. In the end, he and the boy had managed to eat the entire fish.
That was great, son.
What was the best meal you ever had?
Difficult to say.
Bet you had some triple rare banquets. That the proper word? Banquets?
Yeah, that's the right word. Yeah, I guess I have. I remember when Trader had done a big favor for a baron up in the Cascades. Him, me, and the armorer got an invite. Best of everything.
Tell me!
Gold plates and silver forks.
Wow!
Didn't make the food taste any better, though. Crystal goblets. Some wine, he said, was about 150 years old.
What were they like?
To tell you the truth, they were terrific. And we had some sort of fish and cheese to start. Said it was lobster from way north and some special kind of goat's cheese. It was okay, but it stank like a gaudy... well, There was some crab cooked in brandy, then a sort of whitefish, poached with herbs. Wild boar and a ginger and honey sauce. That was real good. With glazed potatoes and greens. Ice cream of all sorts of fruit flavors finished off the meal. The